Good evening, this is Patrick Donahue. We're so appreciative of you listening this evening, as you do every week. We hope you'll continue to listen. I thought we would talk about tonight, while we're waiting on our first caller, the cleansing of Naaman, which we read about in 2 Kings chapter 5. 2 Kings 5, the cleansing of Naaman, is, in my opinion, an Old Testament story from which we can draw an analogy to prove that obedience to God is required. Naaman dipped 7 times in the Jordan River to be cleansed of his leprosy. Now, God cleansed him of his leprosy, but he didn't do it until Naaman dipped, until he met God's conditions. 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 1 and following says, Naaman was a leper, and he was wanting to be healed. And now let me read 2 Kings 5, 9 through 14. That passage says, So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth, and went away and said, Behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then when he saith unto thee, Wash and be clean? Then he went down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. If you have a Bible question or a comment on this or any other topic, call us at 877-655-6755. What I'm trying to illustrate from Naaman tonight is that just because God does something for somebody, that doesn't mean that we don't have to do something in order to receive that something. For example, God cleansed Naaman. He didn't do it himself. There was no medicine in the water. God cleansed him of leprosy. But Naaman had to do something for God to cleanse him. God said, If you will dip in the Jordan River 7 times, I'll cleanse you of your leprosy. And at first, Naaman didn't want to do it. He argued against it. But his servants convinced him, Why not just go ahead and do what God says, what the prophet of God told you to do? So he did it, and he was cleansed. Now let's make the parallel to salvation. God saves us. The blood of Christ is what washes away our sins. But that doesn't mean we don't have to do anything to be saved. It's just like Naaman. He had to dip 7 times in the Jordan River in order to be cleansed of his leprosy. Jesus said in Mark 16:16, He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Jesus saves us. But he said, if you want to be saved by the blood of Christ, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. I want to mention something. The Bible Crossfire radio program sends out a weekly email called Doctrine Matters. It's usually pretty short, 2 or 3 paragraphs long, once a week, called Doctrine Matters. We do this by email. That's a lot cheaper than sending it out by the regular mail. If you would like to be put on the mailing list so that you get that once a week email from called Doctrine Matters, in other words, it matters what we believe and teach and so forth, Doctrine Matters, then send me an email at BibleCrossfire@email.com and I'll put you on the mailing list. Send me an email at BibleCrossfire@email.com and I'll put you on the mailing list to receive the once a week email message called Doctrine Matters. Usually very short, 2 or 3 paragraphs long, but almost always talking about a doctrinal matter. What does the Bible teach on a particular topic? And you know, that's so important. Because John 8:31-32 says, If you want to be a true disciple of Jesus, you must continue in His Word. And if you'll do that, ye shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Free from sin. We have to continue in His Word, and only the truth will make us free from sin. False religious teaching will not make us free from sin. It actually will cause us to be lost. 877-655-6755 if you have a Bible question or comment. Getting back to Naaman, the question, who did the cleansing in this text, 2 Kings 5? God did, right? As I said, there was no medicine in the water itself. It wasn't something that was natural. It was a miracle performed by God. Second question, did Naaman have to do anything to receive the cleansing provided for by God? He certainly did. He had to follow God's instructions. He had to meet God's conditions. He had to dip in the Jordan River 7 times. It wasn't enough just to believe that God could cleanse him. People say, all you got to do to be saved is believe. No. Naaman had to not only believe it would work, he had to dip 7 times. He had to act upon his belief. Likewise, we have to meet God's conditions today in order to receive the salvation provided for by the death of Christ. Acts 2:38 says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. So we get the remission of sins based upon the death of Christ. Matthew 26:28. But this says, if you want to receive the remission of sins, which is based upon His blood, the shedding of His blood, you have to repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. Matthew 7:21 reads, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. So yes, John 3:16 teaches we have to believe in order to be saved. Matthew 7:21 teaches that we also have to obey God in order to be saved. As one of my favorite hymns reads, trust and obey. It takes both. If a person that just has works but no belief, he's not going to be saved. A person that believes but doesn't have works, he's not going to be saved either. As I said, Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. If you have a Bible question or comment, call us at 877-655-6755. You know, a lot of preachers say that since God saves us, we don't have to do anything to be saved. However, notice that God cleansed Naaman, but that didn't mean Naaman didn't have to do anything to be cleansed. Preachers will say all you have to do is believe, but Naaman had to do more than just believe. He had to obey God's commandment, dip in the Jordan River, in order to be cleansed. Likewise, we have to not only believe to be saved, we have to obey God's commandment in order to be saved. Again, if you want to be put on the mailing list for the once-a-week email called Doctrine Matters, send me an email at BibleCrossfire@email.com. If you want to call into the program right now, the lines are open, 877-655-6755. If you have a Bible question or comment, we'd be glad to take your call. It can be on this topic or any other topic. You know, it's so important that we don't teach for doctrines the commandments of men, because Matthew 15 verse 9 says that if we do teach for doctrines the commandments of men, our worship will be vain, meaning useless or worthless. It won't accomplish the purpose intended. Need to be careful about what we believe and teach. We're talking about obedience, and we're using Naaman to make an analogy to show that just because God gives us a benefit, a blessing, that doesn't mean that we don't have to do anything to receive that blessing. Naaman received the blessing. He was cleansed of his leprosy, but he had to do something. Not only did he have to believe, he had to dip in the Jordan River 7 times. Likewise, when it comes to our salvation, not only do we have to believe, we have to obey in order to be forgiven by the blood of Christ. Kenneth from Charleston, West Virginia. Go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
I just want to make a comment that so many in the church do not understand that, you know, even in John, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And Jesus is, you know, he's the God of the Old Testament along with the New. And the Ten Commandments, you know, are also his commandments, and it's more than just believing and thinking that you're saved and never repenting and just continuing willful sin. And that's just my comment.
Thank you for your call, Kenneth. You know, we don't want to be... it is true, Jesus said we have to keep his commandments, John 14, 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. But he's not talking about the Old Testament commandments, like the Ten Commandments. He's talking about New Testament commandments. For example, in Romans chapter 7, verse 4, the Bible says we're dead to the law. And then in verse 6, it says we're delivered from the law. So we don't have to keep this law, whatever law it's talking about. Well, this law is identified for us in verse 7. It says, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law, for I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. So the law he's talking about there is the Ten Commandment law, or it includes that. He's saying we're dead to that law, we're delivered from that law, we don't have to keep that law anymore. People say, if that's true, Pat, then does that mean we can kill and steal and commit adultery? No. The reason it's wrong to kill, steal, and commit adultery is not because the Old Testament law said it. If that were so, we'd have to also do the animal sacrifices and everything else. The reason it's wrong to kill, steal, and commit adultery today is because the New Testament law says it's wrong. The Bible calls that law the law of Christ in Galatians 6, verse 2, and 1 Corinthians 9, 21. Fred from Alabama, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Hello, am I on the air?
Yes, you are, Fred. Go ahead.
Yeah, I understand about salvation and accepting Christ as Lord and Savior. And my question when it comes to works is, how much works? I mean, is a little enough? Is a lot more? I mean, it's kind of incomplete. I'm just curious, I mean, if you tithe to the church, is that enough? Or do you need to go 20 hours a week to volunteer, 5 hours a week, 50 hours a week? What are those guidelines?
You know, I'm going to read you, Fred, an Old Testament passage. And of course, we're not under the Old Testament law anymore, but he's in Deuteronomy 5, verse 9, the Bible there is talking about the Old Testament commandments, and it says this: oh, that there were such a heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. And so God expects us to keep all of his commandments. And when we fail to keep any one of them, then we sin, and we need to be sorry for that and repent. Fred, do you have any follow-up?
No, I mean, I think every individual, every person that's ever walked the face of the earth, with the exception of Jesus Christ, has broken at least one of those commandments. And even a saved person's still gonna, they're gonna have a crossword, a bad thought. I mean, even if we repent from that, we're not 100% delivered, because we still live in this world where things are just what they are. And,
well,
you know, I mean, as much as I would wish that you, you know, I think there are too many people that I know, yeah, you have a, you know, your mind's in the spirit, but you still have a foot in the world. And, you know, I've just heard people say, well, you have to have works. Well, again, how much?
Well, all I can say is what God said, and he says he wants us to keep all my commandments, always. Hey, Charles from Spokane, Washington. Go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please. Good to hear from you.
Thank you. Yes, sir. I've been hearing lately, people will say, oh, you shouldn't use the Bible as a weapon. And I notice individuals shunning, you know, it seems like it's used as an excuse. That way you can duck out of, talking about the Bible. Anyway, I just wanted to see what your comments were on that, if you don't mind. And then I'll just...
Well, I think we're on the same page on that. Usually, when people say that, they're using it as an excuse, I think, to continue in their sin or in their false doctrine. Actually, you know, the Bible says that in Ephesians 6, that the Word of God is the sword of the Spirit. So we are supposed to use the Bible as a weapon in that sense. Not a physical weapon, but a weapon to do what a passage like Jude verse 3 would command us, to earnestly contend for the faith. We do that using the Scriptures. Charles, do you have any follow-up?
No, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your call, Charles. Hope to hear from you again soon.
You bet, buddy. Bye.
Back to Naaman. Naaman illustrates for us that just because God does something for us, that doesn't mean we don't have to do anything in order to receive it. So we've been showing that we have to not only believe in Jesus to be saved, we have to obey. Here's some other passages that teach that. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 9 says, "And being made perfect, he," talking about Jesus, "became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him." Sometimes people say obedience has nothing what to do whatsoever with your salvation. But that doesn't come from God or the Bible. God said that if you want to have eternal salvation, you must obey Jesus. Hebrews 5, verse 9. If you have a Bible question or comment, give us a call at 877-655-6755. 1 Peter 1:22 reads, "Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth." Now, what purifies our souls? How are we forgiven? The death, the blood of Christ does that. But this verse says we've purified our souls in obeying the truth. What's our conclusion? Our conclusion is not that the blood of Christ doesn't do it. No, the blood of Christ does purify our souls. But when? When we obey the truth. A lot of people don't have a concept of obeying the truth. All they say is all you got to do is accept Christ as your Savior. You're saved. That's all you got to do. No. You got to do more than just believe in Christ. You got to act upon your belief. This verse says if you want your soul purified, you have to obey the truth. What does it mean to obey the truth? Many religious people, I think, don't have a clue about what it means to obey the truth. Perhaps you would like to know what it means to obey the truth. If you do, send me an email at BibleCrossfire@email.com and we can talk about it further. 2 Thessalonians 1, chapter 1, verse 8 says, "In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ." So, knowing God here is equivalent to believing in God. This verse then is saying that not only must we believe in God, we must obey the gospel. If we don't, God will take vengeance upon us at the judgment day with flaming fire. We have to not only know God, meaning believe in God, we have to obey the gospel. Again, I think many religious people don't have a clue about what obey the gospel means. It means the same thing as obeying the truth. I can explain that to you further. Send me an email, BibleCrossfire@email.com. Revelation 22:14. "Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city." Many preachers say doing God's commandments doesn't have anything to do with our salvation. But this says if we want to have a right to the tree of life and enter into the gates, enter in through the gates into the city, talking about heaven, we must obey God's commandments. If you have a Bible question or a comment on this or any other Bible topic, give us a call at 877-655-6755. 877-655-6755. Now, this is not talking about God's Old Testament commandments. This is talking about His New Testament commandments. You say, "Pat, how do you know that?" Well, we have a whole debate about that in Acts 15. In Acts 15, the thing that they're refuting is that the Jews who had become Christians were saying that it was needful to circumcise the Gentiles and to command them to keep the law of Moses. And the whole chapter there is a dispute and or about teaching that no, we don't have to keep the law of Moses anymore. We don't have to keep the Old Testament law. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 19 puts it this way. "Circumcision is nothing and uncircumcision is nothing but the keeping of the commandments of God." What's that mean when it says the circumcision doesn't matter, which was a commandment of God in the Old Testament, but the keeping of the commandments of God does matter? It's a contrast between Old Testament and New Testament. Circumcision here represents the commandments of the Old Testament. Circumcision, the Sabbath, animal sacrifices, and so forth. Those things aren't important anymore, but the keeping of the commandments of God, that is important. That's New Testament commandments. We're under the New Testament law, not under the Old Testament law. That doesn't mean, when I say we're not under the Old Testament law, that we're not under any law. We are under God's law, His New Testament law. God expects us to keep those commandments. We must believe in Christ and we must obey Christ. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 9. Michelle from Las Vegas, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
I just have a quick question about tithing. I know you're supposed to tithe 10%, but do you have to give that to a church? Or can you give it to, like, a homeless shelter to help feed the hungry?
Michelle?
Yes.
The Old Testament law, we're just making the point we're not under the Old Testament law anymore, and it's the Old Testament law is the one that taught you had to give 10%. The New Testament law teaches something similar to that, but it never specifies the percentage. Let me read to you 1 Corinthians 16:1-2. It says, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come." You take this passage, a passage like 2 Corinthians 8:9, we are still to give as we've been prospered. In other words, the more we make, the more we should give. You follow me, Michelle?
Yes.
Yes, and this passage says that this collection is made into the treasury of the church, and then the church, what it does with that money, with your contribution, is then it would use it to preach the gospel or help needy Christians. So yes, we are required to give to the church. The church then uses its money for the things the Bible authorizes. Like I said, preaching the gospel, helping the needy saints. And Michelle, the faithful and strong Christians I know give more than 10%. They don't just give 10%, they give more than that. Any follow-up, Michelle?
I do. Thank you.
Thank you, Michelle.
Yep, thanks.
We're going to have to go off the air in a couple of minutes, but if you have a quick call, question, 877-655-6755 is the number to call. A couple of more passages that show that we not only have to believe in Christ to be saved, we have to obey. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." So we are going to be judged not only based upon whether or not we believe, but what we did in our body, whether it's good or bad. James 2:24, "You see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only." Many churches teach we're saved by faith only, but the Bible says it's also by works and not by faith only. So salvation is not by faith only. Again, as one of my favorite hymns says, we must trust and obey. We so much appreciate you listening tonight. Again, if you want to be put on the mailing list for that weekly email, very short email once a week about doctrinal matters, talks about what the Bible says about particular subjects and shows you what the truth on those subjects is, if you'll accept what the Bible says, send me an email at BibleCrossfire@email.com. Let me know you want to be put on the emailing list for Doctrine Matters, and you'll be getting that once a week, BibleCrossfire@email.com. We so much appreciate you listening this evening. Listen next week. Again, if you want to talk to me about any spiritual matter throughout the week, send me an email at BibleCrossfire@email.com. BibleCrossfire@email.com. Thank you so much for listening this evening.